when we think about those doctrines, about how to behave ourselves in the church, how to keep ourselves decently in order, Hebrews 10:25 tells us that we're not supposed to forsake the assembly, that we're supposed to be here. When we're gathered together, we're supposed to be here. That kind of, you see where they kind of overlap, that partially an individual's personal life, but it's also a part of that public gathering together. And so those doctrines that we teach, we see how they overlap. The way that we worship is going to overlap into our private lives and the way that we live. The things that we teach about prayer and about the Bible are going to overlap into the way that we live our lives from day to day. Somebody that doesn't really believe that in prayer isn't, they may come up here and see prayers led in the church service, in the assembly together, when we're together. But they aren't going to do it at home. They don't even, sometimes people don't even give thanks for their food. All the blessings that God's given us, and we're fixing to eat some of those blessings, and people won't even give thanks for that. And yet the Bible teaches us to be thankful. It teaches us always that we're supposed to be thankful for every blessing. So there are many things like that. While we're in 1 Timothy, let's look down to chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we want to look at verse number 3 to start with. So let's really 2 and 3. Verse 2, of course, Paul's coming to the end of the letter. He's told Timothy a lot of things, what he's supposed to teach. I mean, he's told them about how to handle widows. He's told them about how to handle their who they work for and all of these kinds of things. Just all sorts of things that he's covered in how they're supposed to behave themselves. Verse 2 of chapter 6, he says, they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved takers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So he says, all of these things that I've been telling you along these here, you need to be teaching these things. And he goes on in verse 3, he says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, and evil surmisings. And he keeps going on about this person that wouldn't submit to the doctrine of Christ. That won't submit to the teachings, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine that's according to godliness. See, there are certain doctrines that are righteous, that are according to godliness, and then there are other doctrines. In one place, it's referred to as the doctrines of devils. There are two sets of doctrines out there, and we've got to distinguish between them. We've got to know which one's from God and which ones are from the devil. Let's look on down a little further in chapter 6. He says in verse 8, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. How many of us would be content if we just had food and clothing? Would we be content if we didn't have all of the modern luxuries of life? He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. He says in verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Then he says, verse 11, but thou, O man of God, you want to be a follower of God, a man or a woman of God? He says, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. You see, those are things that we're going to put in practice in our lives, not just when we're gathered together. See, we're going to do that every day of our life. So we've seen, there are some areas of doctrine that, where the Bible has not made it clear to us in some ways. That the Bible, we didn't need to know some things. You know, he talks about arguing over strifes of words and doting about questions. Sometimes people will talk for hours about things that the Bible just doesn't say. I had a fellow, I think I was down there to see when Dr. Coleman was down in Gilbertown. I went to see him, and somebody standing there said, "Well, name me the six angels." Six angel? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, there are six angels. And I'm like, well, the only ones I know is Gabriel and Michael. The only ones I know that are mentioned in the Bible. But he, you know, people, they've named all these angels, and they've they come up with all this stuff. They have all these traditions that they have and that they hold. And it doesn't have anything to do with the Bible. It's foolish questions. What difference does it make if I can name some angels that men came up with names for? It doesn't matter. For that matter, it doesn't even matter if I can name Gabriel and Michael, the two that are actually mentioned in the Bible. That's not going to save me. And see, people get all caught up on the what you might call Bible trivia. And that's not going to save you. It's not even going to help you get to heaven if you know how to spell Malahalashazbar. It's not going to help you be saved. That is a name in the Bible, Malahalashazbar, one of the longest names in the Bible. It doesn't matter whether you know how to spell that or not. It's not going to help you be a better Christian in any way. You know, those Bible trivia, they're fun for, you know, play that Bible trivia, see if you can do it. But it doesn't accomplish anything, really. For some of the things, I've played some Bible trivia games, some of the things that they call Bible trivia that they have in the Bible trivia game is not trivia. Some of the things that they call Bible trivia are things that are very important. They might talk about, you know, did Jesus rise from the dead? Well, that's not trivial. That's very important. So there are a lot of things that we have to know, and there are other things that, oh yeah, certainly we need to know as much as we can about the Bible, but we need to be sure we understand the most important things first. We studied with somebody all day long about the order of the kings in the land of Israel. And while it's nice to know that, certainly we can learn lessons from those people, but boy, it doesn't matter whether they know all the names of all the kings in Israel and Judah. If they don't know the plan of salvation, what difference does it make? It's often been said that the devil can quote the scriptures. I know that there are many atheists who quote the Bible. They know it. They know what the Bible says. But they don't believe it any more than I believe some fictional book that's out there tells me how to get to heaven. They don't believe the Bible's really going to tell you how to get to heaven. So we need to think about those things and flee all of those evil things and follow after righteousness. Yes. In conclusion this morning, we want to look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts 2 and 42, the church is brand new. Day of Pentecost, it's just been established. 3,000 have just been added to the church. Brand new church. 3,000 people starting it out. Notice verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly in the doctrine. We've got to do that. We've got to steadfastly continue to teach what the Bible teaches. You know, there will always be, and there always have been, people who try to change the doctrine of Christ. To try to change the doctrine that the apostles taught. Paul made it very clear what we're supposed to think about folks like that. He said, if anyone teaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. And it was so important that he turned right around and said it again. If anyone, he said, if me, another apostle, another, if it's an angel from heaven, no matter who it is, if anyone teaches another gospel, let him be accursed. So we need to understand how important it is that we teach what the Bible teaches. Especially in these areas that are essential for salvation. Especially in these areas that are going to affect the way we live our day-to-day lives. Many times, we teach the right thing inside the walls of the building. But we teach something very different in the way that we live our lives. Teach that gambling's wrong, and then folks will drive across the state line to buy lottery tickets or go over to Philadelphia to the casinos. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what we teach if we're not putting it into practice. And we're going to talk about that practice next week. There's a word that's very common and very familiar. It's kind of interesting because it's such a big word and a lot of people don't know how to use big words, but they know this one, hypocrites. Oh, they know how to use that word. They may not know any other word that's over two syllables, but they know hypocrites. They know that word. We need to be sure that we are teaching the right things. And next week we'll look at the fact that we need to be sure that we're practicing the right things. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, if you are not a Christian and need to become one, there's no better time than now. We're not promised tomorrow. If you're here and as a Christian, you have not been living in accordance with the doctrine that the church teaches, that the Bible teaches. Not so much the church's doctrine, but the Bible's doctrine. But they're one and the same. The apostles' doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the church, the doctrine of the Bible, they're all the same if they're the true doctrine. Now, there may be a lot of churches that have their own doctrine, but if we're following the Bible, then the church's doctrine is going to be the same as the Bible's doctrine. It's going to be the same as the apostles' doctrine. It's going to be the same as the doctrine of Christ. If you're here and you haven't been following that doctrine, you haven't been teaching it either in word or in your actions, you may need to respond to the invitation to turn around and do what's right. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand today.